Blog Talk Radio.
Here it is.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it.
Start the show.
Yes, sir.
We will do that. Fellas, I've been waiting for this. May the 4th be with you. Whoa!
You nerd.
Yes, sir. I'm a nerd. I'm not going to lie. I am a nerd.
Cinco de Mayo Eve.
Yes, sir.
It is, but it's more May the 4th be with you, man. Don't let that happen, man. Don't take my day. Hey, it's all good. Today, of course, is May the 4th. You are officially talking sports with the 12th, man, and we are ready to roll. So, of course, I'm your host, Andre. Let's check in with my other fellows, my other co-hosts. First and foremost, let me check in with JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. I didn't have to work a game today, so I'm good. I'm rested. How you been doing, bro?
Are you resting? Okay, doing good, man. Like I said, it's been a busy week. I know we've been on that grind, man, like you talked about. So it is a fun time. And let me check in with my other co-host, Mr. T. Rob Ford. How you doing today, Rob?
Man, doing great. Ready to get this party started. I just have one question for y'all.
He eating, man.
I know.
What's
I hear
what's
him.
Your question?
I just have one question.
What?
Tell me, how do you spell Jets?
How do you spell Jets? Is that what you asked? I got you.
How do you spell Jets?
From the 2019 and 2017 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Stewart, receiver, Alabama.
That's how you spell Jets, man. There it is. Now we're having a good time.
Say that one more time.
Poor Tony Richardson, man.
How do you spell Jets?
Yeah, that's awful.
From the 2019 NFL Draft, the New York
Jets.
That's your boy.
Man, that's how we cap it out.
Jets. Did you really do that? Jets? Jets?
That is awful, man. That is awful.
Not the Jets Jets. With the J-E-T-E Jet. America, just in case y'all ain't here, let them hear it one more time.
Here we go.
With the 79th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the New York J-E-T-E Jet
selects. Yeah, he was tripping.
He was confident about it, too. He just knew he spelled it right.
Yeah. He had practiced that in the mirror and still messed it up.
Steve Harvey, Tony Richardson, he joins a long line of people that have been having just fun Twitter memes. It's not going to stop, man. So, hey, that's what we all about.
Oh, no.
Man. So,
speaking of memes,
yeah,
your homeboy's been firing. He's been firing all kinds of shots on the Facebook page.
I was going to talk about this. As a matter of fact, so Rob, I got some good news for you, man. You know what? Rob.
Oh, I'm listening. Rob. I'm trying to listen.
I'm just making sure. Hey, man, you got a new LSU fan, man. You know, I'm joining your squad,
Uh-oh.
Man.
Uh-oh. Trying to fire a shot. Okay, go ahead. What's the deal?
I'm just saying, because, you know, whenever you talk about all the LSU players, they're going to be Falcons, man. So just keep it going, bro. So anytime you talk LSU, I'm like, yo, that's going to be our new Falcons player, man. So just keep it going, bro. I'm so excited, man. Every time you talk about LSU, I'm like, that's going to be the next Falcons. So, man, I'm so excited, man. So we in the brotherhood, bro. You know what I'm saying? So anytime you talk LSU.
Well,
man,
I have to give y'all
like,
credit on
ways,
that
bro.
One because y'all traded up right before the Saints and drafted Duke Riley. And, you know, I don't know how true, you know, rumor or speculation is the Saints were interested in them and Falcons moved a pick ahead of the Saints to pick them. So I got to give Atlanta, if that's true, then you got to give the Falcons credit.
LSU, hey, man, that's our new squad, bro. You know what I'm saying? So
how about
LSU,
New Orleans being Columbus South?
Yeah, no, we Buckeyes South now. I'll tell you that. We always draft an Ohio State players.
Yeah, that's true. So there it is, man. So you
yeah,
got,
we
you
Ohio
got,
State
got,
South, that's for sure.
Yes, sir. I love it.
Everyone got
yeah, Von
team,
Bell,
man.
Michael Thomas, and now Lattimore, which I think was I don't think anybody expected Lattimore to be available at number 11. And so that was a big win for the Saints getting him there. And
yep.
then you go back, from the Will Smith, the LaCharles Bentleys of the world.
Malcolm Jenkins.
Malcolm Jenkins.
Come on, man. We want to talk about this.
It is. Anyway. They definitely like those Ohio State football players. And believe it or not, Michael Thomas supposedly was very involved in their evaluations of all Ohio State players in the draft. So that was really interesting.
He's smart. I mean,
yeah,
he knows him as good as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that Cincinnati would be all over that, but no.
It is. They have a ridiculous rivalry with Columbus and Cleveland. That's why you don't see it. And plus, Marvin Lewis has got an SEC tattoo, you know, on his calf muscle. So once you do that, you know, it's pretty much over.
He got an SEC tattoo
on his calf muscle.
Well, he did draft two SEC players. And, you know, getting Carl Lawson in the fourth round for Cincinnati, I thought even though he's coming off of an injury, I think that if he can come back healthy, that could be somewhat of a steal for the Bengals, getting Carl Lawson in the fourth round as a pass rusher. And even really getting Jordan Willis in the third round, I thought was another steal for the Bengals. I mean, they reached a little bit on John Ross.
A lot.
But when you really look at it, that offense could be really dangerous in Cincinnati if Andy Dalton could improve on his quarterback play a little bit. When you add a John, even though they reached for Ross, Joe Mixon, I think, was a great pick. Jordan Willis, I think, was a great pick. I think Carl Lawson was also a great pick for the Bengals. So I think they made up for it. I still gave them A-plus with those second, third, and fourth round picks. And even Josh Malone from Tennessee, I think, could be a player too. So I think offensively they could be really scary if Andy Dalton performs.
Yeah. Go ahead, Drace. Go ahead. I'm sorry, we didn't let you give him the numbers. That is always the kiss of death. If you depend on Andy Dalton, it's a wrap. Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry, we derailed you.
I was going to say, man, we were supposed to be talking about other things, but it's all good. You know, bottom line is that I'm just happy that LSU, man, that's like Atlanta Falcons South, bro. So, you know, Rob, so anytime that you tell me about LSU, I'm going to be all ears, bro, because I know that we're about to pick some future Falcons, bro. So, hey, man, we're in the brotherhood together.
Pretty much.
That's what it's all about, man. Hey, man, let me get these numbers real quick. 424-243-9519 really quickly is the number to reach out to your boys. Once again, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 1212. THMAN Sports. And then last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports from 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. You'll find us in that arena as well. Okay, gentlemen, we were supposed to talk about some NBA stuff, but we were running some mock draft. So, because your boy Tony Richardson messed me up more than once, man, talking about spelling Jets over there. But really quickly.
Hilarious.
We saw how a couple of player injuries have affected playoff series, guys. And I'm going to point out, obviously, to Rondo. That was a huge turning point whenever he went down for Chicago. And now something happened to Tony Parker last night.
Blake Griffin,
great call about that, to have that definitely affects the series too. So let's talk about this. In San Antonio, the biggest thing to talk about Tony Parker, and I guess the first game, whenever they got blitzed by Houston, you're like, whoa, because, I think – the whole aspect was they were kind of tired and they kind of righted the ship last night. But then again, doesn't seem like everything is all that great in San Antonio land. So tell us a little bit more about this, Rob, and that they got more bigger problems than losing Tony Parker.
Well, I mean, I will say that after watching game one, I'm like, wow, this San Antonio team looks old and slow. But how many times have we thought that about the Spurs over the last 10 years, probably?
Yeah.
But after watching game one, I was like, wow, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, you know, he used to think he was one of the fastest point guards in the league, getting coast to coast on a basketball court. But obviously you lose him, and he had already lost a step. And I think if you're the Spurs, you still got to be worried. Now, one thing I will say that really helped him out in game two, I would think for probably 50% of that basketball game, they had Kawhi Leonard actually guarding James Harden. And that just totally messed up the offensive flow for the Houston Rockets. So we'll see if that could last. And, you know, after watching game one, I thought, wow, I think Houston's going to blow these people out in this series. But, you know, maybe I may have jumped the gun a little bit. But Houston
yeah.
did what they were supposed to do. Houston did what they were supposed to do, go on the road and win one game. But they came back and... if Kawhi Leonard can slow down that offense and contain James Harden the way he did in game two, then they may still have a shot at pulling this series out, the Spurs.
JQ, your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, when I saw him post that on the 12th man page, I said, come on, man, you cannot count San Antonio out with Pop. There's two things for the Spurs that concern me, though. And one is, you're right, he's their best defender and you need him on Harden. But you also need mm-hmm. him to be fresh to score points for that San Antonio offense. So they have a real delicate balance of how hard can they push Leonard to play basically crazy minutes on both ends of the floor, scoring for them and defending James Harden. That's a lot. And I know he's a very good to great two-way player. But once you talk about playing Harden, who is an MVP candidate, legitimately an MVP candidate, that's a lot to put on him. And the second piece of it is LaMarcus Aldridge. And
yeah.
if you saw when they went
small, he's not showed up. He's not healthy
at
either.
All. Yeah, there's rumors that his knee is bad. And they're playing Gasol heavy minutes, you know, in a kind of small ball lineup that they used effectively in game two. But if he's not healthy, to Rob's point, and the fact that you've marginalized him, and maybe they marginalized him because he's not healthy, I don't know how
right.
accurate those reports are. But the fact you paid him that kind of money and what he did last year in the playoffs in terms of his stat lines, what he's doing now is just a dramatic decline. And mm-hmm. he slows that mm-hmm. offense down, and I don't know if they can use him in here. And the thing is, do you lose him mentally when you pay him that money to be the second player, and now he doesn't even play the minutes he was playing because you're going to another lineup to maximize your efficiency against this opponent? You know, LaMarcus is, you know, if you watch him, he's delicate. And he's not just one of those hardcore super dudes. Like, stuff like that affects him, and it may affect him if they move on and they need to rely on him. But you know what? I don't know if they're going to even be able to rely on him moving on. If you're looking at playing Golden State, you're going to look at playing small with the same kind of lineup with Gasol being at the center and four wings. So I don't think they make the finals by any stretch of the imagination, but I agree yep. that I don't think it's really Tony Parker. I think it's more LaMarcus Aldridge not giving mm-hmm. up what he can in the evolution of the game and basically being rendered obsolete.
Yeah, well, I think even as well, when you look at the Spurs roster top to bottom versus the Rockets roster top to bottom, I think the Rockets are a more talented team.
Yep.
Especially with the way LaMarcus Aldridge is playing right now. I mean, he's playing like a second-tier NBA player at this stage, which means you really only have one star. And you can make sense where the Rockets only have one star, too, and that's James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting good production out of Ryan Anderson. They're getting good production out of Eric Gordon. They're getting finally starting to get the production out of Lou Williams coming off the bench. So they have guys that can spread the floor out and straight out
Ariza.
Shoot the basketball. Yeah, Trevor Ariza as well. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of tough because I agree with you that I think something is wrong. With, you know, he's hurt, and that's kind of like affecting his play because that's just too much of a dramatic drop-off because he was just balling last year, man. So something is clearly wrong with him. So maybe that's affecting his play, his confidence, you know, whatever you can say about that too. And I've always been a fan of the Spurs guys because the fact that the Spurs, they've never had a star, if you will. I mean, they've had – and
what?
Bears me what I'm saying with this. Bears me is what I'm saying. Tim Duncan, yeah, star, superstar, whatever, but they don't really have to operate like – a star like a LeBron, for example. They play good team basketball is what I'm trying to say. So, Manu Ginobili, you've had Tony Parker. Maybe that's not the right word I'm saying, but I'm saying that the fact that they can play as a team organization. yeah. But I'm saying the fact that they're able to play well as a team, so they don't necessarily need like a Harden. Like if you kind of wipe out Harden sometimes, you pretty much annihilate that team. But they could be able, they're able to move the ball and just have good team chemistry, good team IQ, I guess is the right way how I'm trying to explain that. But, you know,
no,
so,
I got you. I was messing with you.
That's why
they're
never kind of out of stuff because they just have such a great coach and they're able to kind of make it. So it doesn't matter how old they are. They can still operate. They've got a lot of intelligence too. So, you know, there's a couple things
looking
happening
for a system.
System, yeah.
They have a good system.
So,
yep.
So that's kind of something that I'm still, you can't totally write them off just yet. And some teams may be, you know, more talented, but like I said, again, they will be able to figure out a way how to beat you. And you're going to have to, like, it's a dogfight no matter how it goes. So it's going to go to seven, and you basically got to, like, they're going to, like, drain you, bottom line. So we'll see how that plays out. And let's continue this on. We've been moving here on the show. And Rob, I guess let's kind of keep it going. Second topic, what's your all-time favorite play in NBA playoff history, sir?
I think for me, you got to go back to 1982/83 season. The 76ers and the Lakers, not to rain on JQ's Lakers.
Hey, come on, Dr. J.
Yeah, you know exactly where I'm going. When Dr. J did that windmill dunk, man, and Michael Cooper should have just got out of the picture.
I know exactly where you're going.
That's one of the most famous NBA playoff plays. And to me, that's still the most memorable play in NBA playoff history. And the 76ers obviously went on to sweep the Lakers in that series 4-0.
Okay.
Dr. J with that windmill dunk. Michael Cooper with those tight shorts should have just got it out of the picture.
socks. Okay, I'm ready. I'm not listening to Rob no more talk disparaging about my Lakers. I do have one that's against the Lakers. For me, it's a 1A, 1B, and it involves Michael Jordan for both of them. Michael Jordan coming down the lane and switching hands and going underneath the basket against, you know, basically taking the reins from Magic and for the Bulls. And that play is just so iconic for me. And the other one that everybody knows, but it's still just ingrained when I thought about it when I saw the topic, is him pushing Russell out the way and draining that two-pointer against Utah. Those two are just, for me, and it's not that I'm a, you know, Michael Jordan's the guy, don't get me wrong, where I'm in love with him like that. But growing up in the era that we grew up in, those two plays for me stick out like, wow, you know, NBA Finals games, of course, with everything on the line, but – you know, he just has so many. You can talk about the Elo shot as well.
I was getting ready to mention that one. That's another one that, even though it was a first round game, that shot against Cleveland over Craig Elo, that's another big one.
There's just so many plays, so many shots. I mean, we could be here all day talking about some favorite plays too. And I remember certain like key moments. Like I remember whenever like a young Shaq was going against Hakeem Olajuwon, he just showed him, let me show you how the game is played. The Rockets and that squad, and please forgive me if I kind of take a step back because, you know, that's an example of a player that expanded his game, man. Hakeem Olajuwon was just like the dream shake. That dude was amazing.
That dream shake.
So you would hope would learn how to use that, man. You know, like, and even the freaking skyhook that Kareem did, no one ever uses that anymore. I mean, I know the game is changing, but it's just amazing to see, like, classic games and classic moves and stuff like that, too, man. I mean, I'll go back to Tim Hardaway, too, man. That crossover, man. It was just beautiful to see that, man.
Hey, man.
So, you know,
them Nike Air Rays he had with the X on the back. You know what? You're absolutely right, Dre. I'm with you. And I'm be honest with you. My favorite center in NBA history is Hakeem Olajuwon. Simply for that dream
shake. The dream shake, dog. Can nobody stop him?
He had 8 moves off of 1 pivot. And you had to figure him all out wherever he was on the court. It was amazing to behold, and I'm 100% with you. Why more people don't mimic that, because it's effective, especially if you're 6'10", 6'11", and somewhat athletic. I'm with you 100%. Hakeem Olajuwon, that dream shake, is one of the most devastating moves that anybody has in their arsenal ever in NBA history. I'm willing to go that far.
I'll tell you, just a couple of, you know, Andre mentioned the sky hook. I'm surprised that we don't have more young basketball players developing that shot, because it's almost an unblockable shot, especially for somebody that's 6'10 or taller with long arms. The sky hook is almost an unblockable shot because of the space it generates between you and the defender. And so it's surprising that we don't see more young people generate that shot. But just a couple other, you know, highlights. The Allen Iverson, you know, the step over Tyronn Lue. And, that's another one that you can go back to as well.
Oh, such a haven.
And Isaiah Thomas, even though in defeat, you know, playing basically on one leg, you know, hitting shot after shot after shot, and they lost to the Lakers, I believe it was game six NBA Finals, and they lost to the Lakers. He put up 40-something points and practically playing on one leg in that basketball game. That was pretty memorable as well.
You can probably dedicate like 20 minutes of that in the future too, man.
I had another one. Like I can't think of what it is now.
I'm thinking of I think of the shot that Jordan hit versus Brian Russell. That was one of those classic moves, man.
Uh-huh.
Just that
uh-huh.
Everyone talks about that. You know, kind of pushed off, but you know, there's so many like moments, and I know it does seem like it's kind of like we're kind of biased here, but you know, for Jordan and whatnot too. But you know, it's just amazing to see like, you know.
But Reggie Miller, you know, those back to back three pointers against the New York Knicks, where he hit a three, steal the ball, hit another three, right there talking trash to Spike Lee on the sidelines. That's another very memorable playoff moment.
Still pissed off about that.
Good call, Rob. Yeah. With 8 points, what, 6 seconds, something like that? 9 seconds?
Man, that was crazy. Good call, man. Like I said, we're going to have to bring that back, guys, because I actually enjoy that topic, Rob. So we'll have to kind of dissect that and just remember great moments, man, and as far as NBA history, too. So good calls, man. All right. So let's continue to talk about some more ball here. And I guess the playoff grades for the remaining NBA playoff coaches. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, if you look at, obviously, Golden State doesn't have Steve Kerr. And Golden State is just ultra talented, so I mean, you know, it's hard for me to give Mike Brown an A. I just think any of us could go out there and coach the Golden State Warriors right now. They just have good chemistry. They play well together. So I'm going to give him an incomplete. I'm not going to give Mike Brown a grade so far.
I agree.
And if you look at the San Antonio Spurs and Greg Popovich, you know, we expect so much out of Popovich. But to me, they struggled with the Memphis Grizzlies, and they're obviously tied with the Houston Rockets 1-1. I can't give them an A so far in these playoffs. There's got to be somewhere around a B- or a C+ so far in these particular playoffs.
Wow.
Obviously, they made a great adjustment the other night, putting Kawhi Leonard on James Harden, a good portion of the basketball game. I'm going to give him a B- so far in his playoffs. Mike D'Antoni, I'm actually going to give him an A- so far for the Houston Rockets. I'm going to go ahead and give him an A-. And then when you look at the Utah Jazz, Quinn Snyder, if they were a little bit more competitive with Golden State, I could probably give him a better grade. But I'm going to go ahead and give them a B-. Obviously, they beat the Clippers team without Blake Griffin. So I'm not going to give them an A for that. Tyronn Lue, I'm going to give him a solid A so far in his playoffs. You can see the progression that they have made between the regular season and the playoffs and how much better they have gotten from game to game in the playoffs, particularly on the defensive end as well. They're slowly but surely getting there on the defensive end. And LeBron James, you know, obviously has been tremendous. So I'm going to give Tyronn Lue a solid A in the playoffs. Brad Stevens, the Boston Celtics, they're up 2-1. Obviously, they responded after being down 2-0 to the Bulls. Obviously, Rajon Rondo, that injury helped them there. And they're up 2-1 in this series. I'm going to give them a B+. I'll give Brad Stevens a B+ so far in this series. Scott Brooks, the Washington Wizards, and obviously I thought they had an opportunity to at least win one of those games in Boston, and so that really hurt them. They respond tonight with a big blowout win over the Celtics. I'm going to give him a B+ as well. I think they can still make this a series with Boston. I think this series could still go 6-7 games.
Yep.
And then last but not least, when we look at the coach, I can't even remember his name, for the Toronto Raptors.
Casey.
Dwayne Casey. Obviously, they come back and beat Milwaukee. They were down 2-1, 1-3 in a row. Obviously, they deserve a lot of credit for that. They're down 2-0 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to give them a C-plus so far.
Hmm.
Anything you want to add to that, JQ?
Yeah, I got some disagreements. I think Popovich and the Spurs got a tough draw because Memphis likes to play the same way that San Antonio does. And I thought that could be a sneaky, more harder series than people gave it credit for, and it turned out to be, only because they play the same kind of way. Their styles mesh up, so it makes them easier to guard San Antonio. But they still prevailed. And, you know, you're playing an MVP candidate in Harden. I think I would give Pop a B. But for the same reasons you gave Mike the incomplete, I would give Brad Stevens the incomplete and Tyronn Lue incomplete because I heard Dre saying it, yeah, LeBron James. And they've got the best draw of anybody so far in this playoffs. And that's the reason why they are 6-0. And for, I'm sorry, I should talk about Tyronn Lue. I talk about Brad Stevens as well. They lose that series if Rondo is not hurt. So he got a huge benefit in that. So I'd give him an incomplete as well because I think he got, you know, once that happened, they were clearly the better team. And Rondo, it's shocking to say, after his trials and tribulations, was the difference maker in that series. And once he was done, you could just see a tangible difference in the way that Chicago offense ran. So I was just – those are the ones I would quibble with. But the other ones I agree with.
Good call. Hey, guys, so I apologize. We had a caller that called in, so if you want to call back in, because I know, like, they went a little long-winded, and I was trying to, like, figure out time to cut that in there, so I apologize. So caller that called in, you definitely reach
out
to your boys, 424-243-9519. I know it's eight coaches. I was trying to, like, wait for that moment, too. So call back in and give your thoughts. I'm sure we don't mind definitely you showing some love for your boys, too. So really quickly, I'm not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how the Clippers fixed their roster this offseason. Go ahead, Rob.
I think the Clippers, I think they are set in keeping the big three. Doc Rivers is going to do all he can to keep the big three in place and still continue to try to build
Blake
upon
Griffin
a big three.
Blake Griffin too?
Yeah. And
I don't think so.
Word on the street is they're going to do everything they can to try to add Carmelo Anthony to the piece. Personally, I still don't think that's a championship team. But that's the route they want to take. Look like they're going to go that route. And release J.J. Redick and give it another go with the big three plus or Carmelo Anthony. That's the way it looked like it's going to go this offseason. I just don't think this mix is a championship team. It's going to take a lot for them to override the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference. I think it's going to take a lot for any team. Personally, I think Chris Paul should be looking around for another team. If he wants to be on a contending team or finally get to a conference finals, I think he needs to look elsewhere. And I just don't think he's going to get it done with this Clipper team.
Yeah, and we're on the street is Spurs for Chris Paul, maybe.
I heard that, too.
The Clippers do not fix this in the offseason for everything that Rob just said. Even if they do that, they will not be better than the Golden State Warriors and be able to come out of the West. And let's be we're clear on this so we can move on here, Dre. If Carmelo Anthony goes to the Clippers, it's not the big three plus Carmelo. It's the big three plus DeAndre Jordan. Let's just give that man his respect and say that we're not going to put DeAndre Jordan over Carmelo in the big three, including Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. I'm not going to do that. But I've heard and read the same things about Carmelo going to L.A. And you know I've got my own conspiracy theory. That is just one step closer to them getting all four of them together. The hardest person to get is Carmelo. If you get Carmelo and you re-sign Chris Paul, who wants to be there and get that mega contract under the new CBA, and get those two, LeBron and Dwayne are pretty much on year-to-year contracts where they can opt out with a player option. I'm just saying that is still in the works.
Crack is whack.
I believe it.
We'll see. I don't think LeBron James is.
I think if I was the general manager of the Clippers, I would be looking to get rid of Blake Griffin. I would be on the phone with the Indiana Pacers, talking to see if we can make a deal for Paul George. I think that would upgrade their roster. and you can find a few other players that could be some integral role players on that team, or see if you can find another star not named Carmelo, then I think you might have improved your team. But I will be shopping Blake Griffin, get him out of Clipperland, and trying to get Paul George in there is what I would be trying to do. That would be the first move I would make if I was the general manager of the Clippers.
You can't shop Blake, though, because he's a free agent. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Well, you can do a sign and trade.
You can do a sign and trade, yeah. I'm just saying, but you can't shop him because if you can shop him, you have control. But you're right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, but if we're being honest with each other, even if you get Paul George and you get Chris Paul and maybe Gordon Hayward, if we just put another free agent with them, they still don't beat the Warriors. I wouldn't put money on beating the Warriors, would you?
No.
Nope.
Not happening. All right. All good. Let's continue on. It's up
for Uh-oh. Yeah, Rob is fine.
All right, so let's talk about this. We're ready to make our transition into the football segment. And, you know, obviously we'll talk some mock draft. I thought it was going to be a lot about the mock draft too. So, but let's talk about this. And I guess Rob really loves the Cowboys, so he wants to talk about what are the Cowboys' Super Bowl odds next season. So shout out to you, Leonard. Little love for your Cowboys. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, I actually don't see – I don't envision them as a 13-3 team next season. I think they're going to drop off a little bit. Obviously, you lose both of your starting cornerbacks. Now, you go out in the draft, and I think they did a solid job getting Chidobe Awuzie in the second round, cornerback from Colorado. You get Jordan Lewis, cornerback from Michigan, who obviously got some off-the-field issues. But if you get all of that cleaned up, he could be a heck of a player for them as well. And then you get Taco Charlton from Michigan, too, in the first round. So obviously I really like what they did in the first three rounds of the draft to improve themselves defensively. But, I mean, these are still rookies. Now, you hit a home run last year on Prescott. And Dak Prescott, and then the kid running back from Ohio State. So you hit a home run on those two guys, Zeke Elliott, on last year. I think they're going to drop off a little bit. You got a little bit more film on that offensive scheme.
Sophomore slump?
And I'm not going to say, you know, I don't expect him to be as good. I think he's going to go through some growing pains a little bit more this year in the second season. So I envision him dropping off a little bit. At least until 10-6, 11-5 this coming season. Plus, I think the NFC East is going to be a little tougher, too.
JQ, Rob's saying that the Cowboys are going to be calling Tony Romo to come out of the booth. What do you think about that, bro?
I didn't say that.
Well, think about it also in terms of the odds. I think there's a lot of Patriot love flooding the Vegas sports book, and rightfully so, with what they're doing, you know, trading for Brandon Cooks. And then basically holding Butler for hostage pretty much, and then signing Gilmore from Buffalo, and also the running back from Buffalo, and basically using him to replace with Garrett Blount. But for Dallas, I loved that Dallas draft. I loved it. Even for the pieces that Rob talked about, you talk about also getting, of course, to get Noah Brown and to get Ryan Switzer from North Carolina to also help Dak on that offensive side of the ball. And then you talk about Xavier Woods, just a thumper. Also, to go in that secondary where you have a lot of losses to pair him with Barry Church, that they I feel like what they did with Charlton and the two cornerbacks he just mentioned, I think they got great value for positions of need for their team. That's why I'm like, I agree. I don't think 13-3 is in the cards again. I can see 11-5. I don't think they go all the way back to 10-6, but I say 11-5, 12-4. They go off, drop off the pace a game or two, but I think mostly it's because of what Tom Brady has done and what New England has done, and also re-signing Dante Hightower for that team. We're like, okay, they don't have a drop-off. Actually, they may have gotten better. Cooks can play that Randy Moss role. Maybe they are just on a back-to-back right now. So I think that's really why Dallas' odds have taken the hit.
All right, gentlemen, we got 10 minutes here, so let's wrap this up really quickly as we get ready for the OT. Did the Texans, will their gamble on Deshaun Watson pay off? So
me
we'll
first.
Talk about a couple moves. And we'll let JQ go since he's kind of raising his hand. Go ahead, JQ.
He got his hand raised up on this one.
Me first.
He's ready. He all about this. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I am. And you know what? I want to give – the reason why I say that is I also want to give Dre a lot of love because he took Deshaun as his, you know, sleeper. And we was like, what are you talking about? You're going to be a first-round pick. But given that Trubisky went before him and that Mahomes went before him, I think I agree with Dre on the fact now that he's a sleeper. But he went to the perfect situation for him, I believe, with an offensive-minded coach, with a team that has a top-three defense. And you got Hopkins, and they got Irvin last year, and you got Lamar Miller, and they drafted Deontay Foreman. I mean, and they upgraded the offensive line through a couple of picks in the draft. Going to the Texans and falling to the third pick being taken might have been the best thing to happen for Deshaun. And all the stuff that they did, vetting him, all to do is, like you said, all he does is win. You know, he put 40-something points, 44 or 40 on Alabama in the loss, and then came back and avenged it the next year. What more can you say about a dude that just wins ball games like that, and you're looking at your team like all we need is not superstar quarterback play, we need capable quarterback play. And I think Deshaun, by the bye week or early on, when they figure out that Tom Savage is a very good backup quarterback, but he's not a 16-game quarterback, he's a 4-game quarterback, Houston, for sure, with Deshaun Watson, look, I feel like they're going to win the AFC South. I really do. And they get J.J. Watt back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to let – Rob talks, but thank you for the love, man. That's what I was going to say too, man, because the fact that not only did – I mean, they were just a quarterback, like you said, JQ, of getting somewhere. You don't need, like, spectacular play, just solid play. You're going to reunite mm-hmm. him with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, the Clemson connection. I mean, that's fantastic, mm-hmm. man, to kind of get that going. You know, they got a decent mm-hmm. running back. You know, that defense is pretty solid. You just need somebody not to make mistakes. And I think Deshaun, it's going to literally come down to – The job is yours to win, you know. So even if you let him kind of like don't throw him in the fire just yet, you set a perfect mm-hmm. situation. That's exactly what happened. And, yeah, let the quarterbacks get drafted ahead and watch him, you know, do his thing. So that's my thought.
Agreed.
Go ahead, Rob. We'll look at your thoughts, man.
Yeah, and I pretty much mostly agree with both of you all on this topic. Obviously, Deshaun Watson, the thing that impresses me the most about him is his maturity and his poise. And the way they came back and obviously beat Alabama in a national championship game shows you a lot from an NFL standpoint when you're doing your evaluations. In my last mock draft, I had Deshaun Watson going exactly in the spot where he was picked, number 12, but I had to go to Cleveland at number 12. Obviously,
yeah.
He moved up to the exact same spot and take Deshaun Watson. And so this is going to be really interesting to watch going forward when you look from Cleveland Browns' perspective as a fan. Last mm-hmm. year, you passed on Carson Wentz. This mm-hmm. year, I have absolutely no problem with him taking Myles Garrett, and I would never question it because he was the clear-cut best player in this draft, and whoever would have had the number one pick in this draft would have taken Myles Garrett. So I don't think you can, as a fan, realistically, you cannot go back and question that particular pick in this draft. But number 12, this is going to be interesting. Deshaun Kizer versus Deshaun Watson. It's going to mm-hmm. be really interesting from the Cleveland Browns. And I think Cleveland had a heck of a draft. And I think Houston had a heck of a draft, too. I both gave them really good grades. And so when you look at the Houston, you know, Deshaun Watson, obviously we give him high remarks for that. I like Zach Cunningham in the second round. Myself, mm-hmm. I had him based on where they picked him in the second round. I thought that was great value because he was clearly a late first round, early second round kind of value kind of pick. So where they got him, I thought was a really good value. Deontay Foreman, give him some depth at the running back position from Texas, another good pick. I tell you, I really like Julian Davenport, the offensive tackle from Bucknell, from small school, getting him in the fourth round. And also another guy, Carlos Watkins, defensive tackle from Clemson, mm-hmm. getting him in the fourth round too. So I thought Houston was very good, even though they moved up to take that pick. A very solid draft for Houston. Obviously, we talked about the Deshaun Watson versus Sean Kizer. That's going to be really interesting going forward for Cleveland. But I still like Cleveland's draft. When you look at Myles Garrett, getting David Njoku could be a very athletic tight end. Still a little raw, but from an athletic standpoint, the guy could be
I went straight up to get him.
You know, Could be a steal. Jabril Peppers, where they picked him was a reach in my opinion, but he's probably going to be a perfect for Greg Williams' defense in that Joker role. So in that particular standpoint, he could be a steal for that particular defense. DeShone Kizer, I think where you picked him is great value, but it's still going to be interesting to see, you know, if you made the mistake of trading out of the DeShone Watson pick. And a couple other guys I like that they picked late, Roderick Johnson, offensive tackle from Florida State, getting him in the fifth round, I thought was a good value. Caleb Brantley is going to be interesting to watch. Obviously, he got in trouble right before the draft, falls all the way down to the sixth round. You're talking about a guy who's a first, second-round talent. So this is going to be really interesting to see how this plays out if they wind up getting a steal with Caleb Brantley, defensive tackle from Florida. But overall, I like Cleveland and Houston, both of the drafts.
Rob,
that's going to be fine.
Talking about Deshaun Watson, man, not like the whole, like, draft, but come on, bro. Man.
Hey, well, we're trying to sneak it in wherever we can.
Oh, man.
Guess, and, yeah, in those AFC South quarterback battles, you talk about Deshaun Watson versus Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson versus Marcus Mariota. I mean, that AFC South is going to be fun to watch over the next 5 to 10 years if those guys go to the potential that we think that they should and can.
Gotcha. All right, really quickly, we're going to talk more about this. I just want to say this really quickly before we get ready to set the OT portion. I got to give JQ some credit here. Shout out to you, bro, because I was talking so much junk about Cleveland. Like, man, they ain't going to get it right, blah, blah, blah. And now I kind of have to, like, take a step back and be like, wow, they actually drafted pretty well, like Rob was, you know, intimating, man. In fact, you got to like a lot of talent on that squad. And then you turn around and you still end up getting your possible quarterback for the future. We still don't know yet, but in DeShone Kizer. So let him kind of sit and kind of redshirt for a couple, you know, 1 or 2 years, whatever you're thinking about that. You know, if you're going to keep Brock.
Mm-hmm.
I know. No. But what we're talking about, because, you know, because I was talking so much junk, I was like, man, they can't draft players. And then I was like, they actually got a lot of talented players. Like, you know, you may not like where they got them, but Jabril Peppers, you know, Njoku, Myles Garrett, getting your quarterback, you know, you got to give them Caleb Brant. I mean, they actually did well. So, I mean, they're not going to be the laughing stock totally now. Now it's going to be up to the coaches to do something with that because, you know, there's a saying where, you know, if you have all that talent, you can't coach it up. And now it's really, really going to be on Hugh Jackson to prove that he's the right coach. But really quickly, we got about 2 minutes, 25 seconds. Rob, go ahead and have the OT portion, and then we'll get this party going. We'll talk more about winners and losers for free agency and the mock draft and all that fun stuff too. So go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can't give you our OT portion of the show live, but do click on the same link on tomorrow. We got more draft talk, more NFL talk. As a matter of fact, the rest of our show is strictly on the National Football League, so you definitely want to click on this link on tomorrow. We may even talk about your favorite team, so you never know. You got to tune in to find out. Next week, we'll be back on the air live Thursday night, 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. You don't want to miss us on next week. We're going to be in the heart of the NBA playoffs, obviously. We'll still talk some NFL offseason, maybe sneak in a little Major League Baseball. So you definitely want to join us on next week. Good night, people.
JQ.
Yeah, and you want to listen in because I disagree with them on the Cleveland draft, but for my own reasons, even in terms of value and also another topic. So make sure you download the podcast and listen to me tell them why Cleveland did not have a great draft, and I'll holler at you guys next week, next Thursday. Cause yeah, I don't think they did. I think they did some okay things, but in the overall landscape. It's not hate or rate. I'm going to give my reasons on the next in the OT portion, so make sure you download it. Check us out. And I always got to do it. Go Chargers.
Man, you talk about an ultimate tease. Good job, JQ. That's how you kind of make folks mad because I'm intrigued myself too. So, but that's what we like to do. Again, America, we appreciate you showing us love. And I really apologize for the caller that I didn't get a chance to get over to you. So hopefully you had a chance to enjoy the show. Text us. Let us know your thoughts. Love to get some feedback as far as what you wanted to talk about as well. And then I can't leave. I got to, like, throw some more love to you guys, too, man. Just something to think about.
Andre, man, why you need to do that to spell Jets, man?
Man, and the sad thing is, they had him on Good Morning Football. He was pretty smart. He was spelling some good words, too. So it's funny how he just like just totally like went on the cuff with that too. But anyway, America, appreciate you guys coming in and talking to us. See what's all about, guys. See you next time.
J-E-T-E-D.
Like you said, confidently. All right. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Confidently. All right, JQ, the floor is yours, bro. Yeah, so Cleveland, huh? What's
mm-hmm.
your thoughts about this, man? Mm-hmm.
And before I start, when I talk about preppers, it's not from a Ohio State,
Michigan.
I can take that
yes,
hat
it
off.
Is.
And, no, no, it's not. Uh-huh. I can put it on an objective hat. I think he is
okay.
A jack of all trades with a
he
master.
He hates Cleveland and he hates Michigan. Figure it out, baby.
Listen, no, he's a jack of all trades, but he's a master of none. In his history there at Michigan, he only had one interception, and it was on the tip pass. I don't know if he's going to be able to totally come in and fill the void. They think he's going to feel drafted him at that spot. And then he traded back up for the tight end from Miami. I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say
it right
now. He's so raw. Now you traded back up to get him. So now for me, you took the safest one in getting Garrett, but you made two questionable moves at your spot getting those two. And go to a macroscopic picture of it. Think about that jersey that has all – hey, get off me. I was using it correctly. Think about the jersey of all the quarterbacks that Cleveland has had that runs all the way to the floor. You're sitting there. You did everything right getting Garrett. And now Watson is sitting there at 12. And you trade out of that pick. And you move back and get Kizer. Okay, you get Kizer. But you don't have any veteran quarterback in that room to help Deshaun Kizer become a better
Brock
quarterback,
Osweiler.
And he's already – stop it. He's already said that he needs more development. So now you don't have that guy for him, and you passed on the dude that we all spent 12, 15 minutes talking about in Deshaun Watson. Last year, to Rob's point, you traded out and you didn't get Carson Wentz. So you're still kicking that quarterback can down the road, and now you've let two gone by that a lot of people are high on. If those two dudes turn out to be studs – and you suck again, and now next year you got to take a quarterback. It feels to me like they are delaying the decision because they're afraid of getting it wrong. And I think they had one in Watson, and he doesn't get the cast he's getting out in Houston. But if I'm Cleveland at 12, I would feel like it felt perfect for me to get the best defensive player and then get Deshaun Watson, and you passed on that. So I will give them an incomplete for the draft grade because if Watson turns out to be a stud, a Dak Prescott type that starts maybe not in week one, but maybe in week five, and Houston wins that division, and you're sitting there, and you might get a little better with Cleveland, but you don't even have a winning record, and he's doing that in the AFC, that gives you an F because you could have gotten that guy and you didn't.
I'm gonna talk about this because I'm going to say that I sincerely appreciate the different opinion, JQ. That's fantastic. I will say, remember how we were talking last week as far as if certain teams are the perfect scenario because Dak Prescott got lucky because he's in a perfect scenario playing with the Cowboys. If he is mm-hmm. with Cleveland, if Deshaun Watson goes to Cleveland, maybe it's too much. He didn't have enough talent around him, so maybe he would get crushed easily. You know, so maybe it's good that they're kind of getting more talent, I would say. So, because you know it's not a one-year thing, so – that's why I kind of think that Cleveland kind of got it right because you don't want to throw him into the wolves and then just totally crush him like Joey Harrington or something, you know, something like that, you know, or
right. But he's
or,
built different
or,
than
David
those
Carr.
Guys.
Yeah, I'm
but
with
he's not
I'm
built
with
like
you.
Those guys.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, huh? If he's there, it's not necessarily the perfect scenario, so he could actually struggle more because there's no talent there. So at least with Houston, at least he has. You know, at least the defense, at least he's got, like, some weapons, you know, running back, you know. There's still some pieces away, but, I mean, I'm with you.
Peyton
that,
Manning was 3-13 that first year in Indianapolis. He was
3-13
that first year in Indianapolis.
But I'm just saying that with that, I'm like, I get where you're going from. I get your point, but I still wonder, I mean, Cleveland, they got a lot of talent, so you cannot deny that, you know. And so, like I said, again, maybe that call. What I mean, I'm still tripping out. I'm still tripping out what the Bears did. So that's a whole other conversation. We'll talk about that too. But we'll let Rob talk about that too. But still, for everything that we kind of bash Cleveland, and yes, maybe they got it wrong. But you got to keep doing it. You know, maybe it's 25 quarterbacks that they keep passing over. But You know, you took a guy that could grow into the, you know, but at least you don't have to force me. Hey, let's kind of grow this team together, guys. You know, we'll figure this out, and that's all you can ask for. They got a ton of picks, and they actually look like they're pretty decent players, man. So that's my two cents on that too. But I get you. I appreciate that different opinion. Rob, anything you want to add to that, man?
Yeah. Oh, one other thing I'll just add to the Cleveland. I think the Deshaun Watson thing is, I think JQ's right on point there, and that's, we're going to have to wait and see how that plays out. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, as a Cleveland Browns fan, you're really going to be watching Deshaun Watson versus Deshaun mm-hmm. Kizer and the rest of their careers when you look at a Cleveland Browns fan. The only good thing is, if Cleveland sucks again, next year the top, which is...
Oh, we suck again!
Could be very well be the case. Next year, the quarterback class is loaded. And you could easily have three of the top five picks in next year's draft being quarterbacks. When you're talking about Sam Darnold from USC, when you talk about Josh Rosen from UCLA, and then when you talk about Josh Allen from Wyoming. Yes, Wyoming.
Yep.
When you talk about those three, then you got to throw in Lamar Jackson, who may not be a top five pick, but he could easily be a first-round quarterback. So next year the quarterback class is loaded. So Cleveland suck again. They're on the top. You know, top five picks of the draft. These quarterbacks, as of now, all grade higher than the quarterbacks as in this class. So, and that could be something Cleveland has a little bit of foresight of going into. But I'm basically going to grade their class based on what they got at the picks where they selected. And I think the only one they really reached on, in my opinion, is Jabril Peppers. I totally agree. I think he should have been a second-round player. Not a guy you get in the first round, but he does fit into Greg Williams' defense. The rest of their draft, I think they got very good value. Like I said, I like the Roger Johnson pick, getting him in the fifth round, offensive tackle from Florida State. And Caleb Brantley is the big question mark with his off-the-field issues right now, but that could even possibly be a steal when you're talking about the Cleveland Browns. Now, the Chicago Bears, now they traded – you know, up obviously one spot in the draft to get Mitchell Trubisky. And obviously my second to last mock draft, I did have Trubisky going number two to the 49ers. Obviously my last mock draft, I dropped him back down to the number 10 spot. Obviously, I think it's a reach to get him at that particular pick. But when you really look at the grand scheme of things, the Bears didn't give up as much as people think they gave up to move up one spot, because they really traded down on their next pick. So in hindsight, they really only gave up a third-round pick to secure the guy that they believe is going to be the quarterback of the future. So it's another one of these things. We're going to have to wait and see how it plays out, if he's going to turn out to be that quarterback or not. And if he does, obviously it was worth giving up the third rounder for him. If he doesn't, then obviously it was a horrible pick. Adam Shaheen getting the tight end from Ashland. Getting him, I thought, this is a very underrated tight end, very athletic, especially for his size. This is a big guy, too. He can block and he can catch. I like the Eddie Jackson pick, getting him in the fourth round from Alabama. And I'm going to tell you something. Tariq Cohen, if you guys haven't seen this guy, running back from North Carolina A&T, he's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. You get him out in space. Can be a really home run threat, obviously coming from a small school, North Carolina A&T, shined at the combine. This could be a real steal for the Bears as well in the fourth round.
Hey Rob,
like
speaking of the Bears.
Two.
Yeah, speaking of the Bears, your boy is contemplating retirement, Jay Cutler, man. I just wanted to throw that out there for you, man. So, you know, that's your boy. I know you guys hang out and little things like that, man. So just want to let you know that, man. So you and your boy can hang out, bro. No, you sit there and invite your boy. I'll let you to your thought, Jake. You invite Mike Glennon to the draft.
Yes,
party,
that was cold.
Yes. I'm sure you're like, what the French toast? But you're our quarterback in the future, bro. I promise, bro. You're our guy, man. What's up with that, man? I don't know. That's really
you took what
man.
I was going to say. You took what I was going to say. I was like, but they took. Yeah, no, I was going to say exactly the same thing. What they did to Mike Glennon was awful. And also, real quickly, Peter King, Monday Morning Quarterback,
he was in the draft room, and John Lynch was only thinking they were going to come get Solomon Thomas or Reuben Foster. It was one of them they just wanted to have. So they were preparing to take one of those other ones, and they were in the draft room like, what is Chicago doing? And this is the NFL team looking like, really? That's what they did. And so they still end up getting Solomon Thomas, who's the second-rated player in there, and they get some draft capital. But, yeah, Chicago, I disagree with the running back from NC&T. I think they got him way too early. They could have got him later. And he's tiny. Like, he's super tiny. He's smaller than Darren Sproles. And Darren Sproles isn't a big guy. Yeah, he's athletic. And then Rob is right. He's athletic. He's the one that does the backflips catching the football. But he's no more than, like, 5'5", for real.
Well, keep an eye on that, too, guys. I mean, like I said, I knew Rob's going to have a little comeback for that, too. But, you know, what I will say, too, and that's another team that did really well, is the 49ers, man. You talk about a team that probably knocked it out of the park, I would say, in their draft, getting, you know, Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster. I know but I'm saying, for what they were able to accomplish, and I'm sure there's a lot of things. I mean, you can say we want about Reuben Foster and, you know, his shoulder surgery and whatnot. But they added some players, man. So I'm not, like, saying that it's like the freaking draft of, like, the Cowboys. But I'm just saying that it's definitely something that, keeping, you know, for a first-time GM, John Lynch did some good things.
He did.
Added a lot of talent to that squad, too. So that's all I'm saying.
He did.
So, anyway,
When you look at their draft, obviously trading back one spot and getting Solomon Thomas, still getting the guy who we all believe is the second-best player in this draft. And then getting Reuben Foster at 31, the guy who they had a high grade on. And Akello Witherspoon, cornerback from Colorado, getting him in the third round. Also, very good value there. Joe Williams, running back from Utah. Getting him in the fourth round. George Kittle, tight end from Iowa. I think they got great value on all of the top five picks in the draft. Well, I'll take that back. C.J. Beathard, I think they reached for him, the quarterback, Iowa.
Yeah, you said that.
Think when you look at their top six picks, he's the only one that I thought they really reached for.
Yep. Good call. Gentlemen, hey, Rob, if it's okay, I'd like to continue, and I'd like to add the top five NFL teams one that is for next week's topic, if you don't mind, and then we'll talk about that surgery, too.
Okay.
So we got 2 minutes, Rob, and go ahead and wrap this up, guys. We're actually about 3 minutes, but I want to give us enough time to set – us up as we get ready to wrap up another edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. So go ahead, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back on the air on next Thursday night. That's 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And for our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. You don't want to miss us on next week. Once again, like I said, even though we're going to be covering NFL offseason, NBA playoffs, like I said, maybe even squeeze in a little Major League Baseball, so you definitely don't want to miss us on next week.
Thank you.
Hey, Dre, I appreciate you keeping us on target and keeping it moving. I know we got off on some tangents, but always excellent football and everything else talk. Appreciate everybody for downloading the podcast and hearing me. There was an honest discussion about Cleveland. I'm just talking about quarterbacks, so don't get mad at me. Browns fans think I'm being a homer. If it was the Bengals,
like
I would say the same thing. I would.
Tell us what y'all think about Cleveland draft. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Absolutely.
Right. Jay, go ahead.
Love you guys for listening to the podcast, and catch you next Thursday.
No, that was good, JQ. And I think that's why I appreciate that opinion. I think it's a very well thought out and very executed point, man. So definitely great perspective. So I'm 100% in agreement with you, because you are looking at both those guys back and forth. But like I said, I still wonder if he's in Cleveland, if he's going to be as successful in his career, man. So, that would have, could have, should have, man. But, yeah.
Yeah, but if you look at Cleveland, the thing about it with him for a quarterback, just real quiet, like, they quietly went and got Kevin Zeiler, and they re-signed their best two offensive linemen who graded out really highly on Pro Football Focus. So they have a decent offensive line now they've invested in. I agree, he doesn't step into nearly the situation he does into Houston. But if you're saying that now that you have him and you say you don't suck as bad, but you're still not a playoff team, you're in the top 12, is there some other weapons you can put around him? We're like, okay, I've got this figured out, but now I can put other weapons around him. Now I have a solid offensive line. Corey Coleman still is a good pick out there, wide receiver. Coel is still a good running back in the backfield. Now you've traded up for tight end from Miami. You hope he works out. You know what I mean? Like, you still have some pieces if you feel like it, but the biggest piece you have is a very solid potential franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good call.
I mean, that could turn out to bite come back and bite Cleveland in the ass. We'll have to wait and see. But based on their draft picks, the only one I thought they reached on was Jabril Peppers. And other than that, I thought they got great value all throughout the draft. But so I think that Deshaun Watson, that one is still up for debate. But as far as actually drafting players, Jabril Peppers, in my opinion, not to say he won't be an effective player for him, but the value just wasn't where they got him at in the draft.
Agree with that.
Well, like I said, gentlemen, like I said, we'll talk to you guys next week, and maybe we'll give our assessments of your team because I want to talk about what we thought about our team's draft, and we'll leave some time for that, and we'll go from there too. So, gentlemen, it's been a great time. Talk to you till next week. Goodbye, America. We'll talk to you later. Good night, fellas.
Fantastic. All right, bro. Talk to you next week.
Good night, fellas.
Good night.
Yes, sir.